you may have my joy. And he closes out in chapter 17 at the end of this priestly prayer in verses 25. He says, O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known you, that you sent me, and I have made your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. And then chapter 18, verse 1, it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he would enter with his disciples. These are some of the last words of Jesus that we're looking at. And as the other gospels of all the things that Christ has said, probably good for us to just kind of, not that we don't always, but pay attention. These things that have spoken to you, because they come with a promise. These things that have spoken to you so that you will believe in the things that we will look at this morning, so that we pay attention. And then notice, here he is. We're hours away from him going. He's going into the garden, which he will be betrayed. He's on his march to the cross. And we all know what that means. We all know what that looks like. And just can't imagine. And what is he doing? His full attention. His focus on his disciples. You'll hear him complaining. You'll hear him grumbling. You're sharing concerns about what he's fixing to face. But he is pouring into his disciples. He seems to have spoken to you over and over and over. So we see as we come back in verse 25. He seems to have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The Holy Spirit, our helper. Last week we learned about that word, helper, can be better translated, maybe counselor. Not a helper in just sense, hey, I'm going to come alongside you and make you feel good and make things comfortable, which he does. He encourages us. This is more counselor, more legal terminology. He is coming. He speaks truth to us. He is sent from the Father. In Jesus' name, scriptures tell us, he's sent from the Father. Just as Jesus was sent by the Father. As we also studied a couple weeks ago, in Jesus being sent, he is the emissary, the ambassador. But what was the word that was used? I couldn't remember it, and I couldn't find my notes. Plenipotentiary. That's what he was. Plenipotentiary. Extraordinarily ambassador. An extraordinary ambassador. Coming to represent the Father. You see me, you know the Father. And now he is leaving. He is leading, and he's sending the helper. He's sending the helper to us, the counselor, our teacher. He will be the counselor extraordinary. He will continue to work that Christ has begun. The question is, what is God's Holy Spirit doing in our lives? What is God's Holy Spirit doing in your life? Point number one is the Holy Spirit works in us and teaches all things. The Spirit is coming and it will be in us. If you know Christ today, you have the Spirit of God in you. Have you thought much about that this week? That's an amazing thing. It's astonishing. Yeah, like as Rush said last week, it's almost just like our heart just beats. Don't even think much about it. It's just going to be. And the Holy Spirit's there. Come on, like that. You know, always there. Always active. Always working. But he is the Spirit of truth. He comes and he is here to guide us along truth. And it says there that he is reminded. reminding us. He will bring to remembrance. Specifically, as he talks to these disciples, there's a work that the Holy Spirit's doing that is specific to what is going on here. But we also see and know from what we see in the Scriptures and what we experience in our lives after being saved, that he does the same things for us. He is teaching us. He is reminding us. He brings to memory things that we know and that we believe, the Word itself that he pours into us. This Spirit will work not just to provide new and independent revelation. He's not coming to necessarily do anything new or a new revelation that he will bring. It's more, but he will be bringing light and filling out the true meaning and significance of all that Jesus had revealed, has imparted to us. That's his work. That's what he will be doing. And as we look at this, and you think about the Old Testament and the things that are stated and the things that you see, that's what he is doing as part of his work. He will continue the work of Jesus in the lives of the disciples. All of us who believe, he continues to do a work in us. He continues to bring conviction on the world. As the gospel goes forth, he is one who brings conviction and will draw people to salvation. There's all kind of other works that we will not look at today. We can't do this, obviously, in even just a couple of messages. But if we're just looking at the text, we're going to pick just a couple of things. He is teaching us. He is doing a great work. This will also have great importance for the life of the church to come, for the writing of the New Testament, the work that will be done there as he expounds on this and he fills in Scriptures that they know from the Old Testament and all through the writings of the New Testament. What do you see? Those guys what? They quote the Old Testament. We've watched them for how long? Going, huh, if you would have known, if you would have listened, we're sitting here going, why wouldn't they know? Why are they so dense? They're just like us. Yet they weren't connecting everything. They weren't always connecting everything. But this Spirit is coming. He's doing the work in us, and he teaches us. And he teaches us all truth. All truth. What are the aspects of teaching? What's involved in teaching? It's going to be a little bit more like ABF. That's for me. What's involved in teaching?
Preparation.
Patience. Content.
Content.
Knowing what the student needs or requires. There is a teacher. Yeah. There is a student. Yeah. Hopefully wanting to know the information that is being communicated so that you will learn, that you're going to know things, and that you will also remember those things. As he said, if you know, just 2 weeks ago in the message, oh, if you just know me, if you just believe me. And they've been taught by Jesus and the Holy Spirit's coming to them. He's going to remind you. What a great teacher. We have the teacher in us. Not only is he teaching us as we go to the Scriptures, as we preach the Word of God, as we disciple with one another and we're around the Word of God, not only does he just teach us, but he comes and he walks with us. He's with us. And he's reminding me. I wish I had that like in high school. This teacher, you don't have to worry about whatever he's teaching you. It's always true. You don't have to sit there and kind of pop your head and say, I don't know. I don't know whether I believe this. Is this really true? Everything that he does is true. It's for correction for us. Hey. We don't tend to think biblically. It's not our heart. moment, and he's walking with us, and he says, no, you know better, remember? These verses, his teaching is constant. We have in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, 1 through 9. Very familiar passage of Scripture, right? On the screen. Can you read that? You gotta have young eyes to read that. Now it's commanded that the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess, so that you and your sons and your grandsons might fear the Lord your God, to keep all the statutes and his commandments which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, should listen. You should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Parents, we talked this morning about children, teaching children. As we rise up, as we walk, as we sit, truth, because they will be bombarded in this world of non-truth. It's important. And it's also, it's on your heart. Right? Is it? Yeah. And we long for more and more of it. You need to be teaching. Christ is teaching his disciples. The Holy Spirit will continue in that. This teacher lives within us and he reminds us of the things that we have learned. Let me ask you, are you a good student? Are you a good disciple? Are you a good child of God? Are you my sons and daughters? Am I a good student for the Holy Spirit? I was not a good student. This kind of was that part of my life was way different. High school was fun. Don't have formal education as you would think. And wish that I did. Encourage those to stay in training. It's just for a little while. It's difficult. But it is a little while. And you'll be glad that you have it. At least the part that hopefully is good and true. Or to cast away that that's not. But I came out of that going, I can live in that, or no. I've been surrounded by a bunch of great godly men all the days of my life. And I set my heart to learn, even though I may not have formal education, but I asked them to teach me. And they have. They can give me some of the same books that these guys read, and I sit as these two guys that are pastors in training, go through their school, and I sit and listen and don't discuss much, but I listen a lot. And I learn. The Holy Spirit teaches me. When Rush was talking the other day, he was saying, you know, he read something or he either heard Franklin make a statement that he realized he was not a good reader. I mean, he's slow, doesn't comprehend well, doesn't retain well, and yet reading with great men of God with brilliant minds and just a lot of writings, and he said, you know, I just said, I just knew I'm not going to be that guy. So I'm going to have to focus what I do read. And he made the conscious decision that if I'm going to know something, it's going to be primarily this book. Do you know God's Word? Are you a student of God's Word? Do you memorize God's Word? I know there are those in here memorizing God's Word. It's absolutely crucial. It is what the Holy Spirit is using in our life. That is what He's calling to memory. Truth. He's teaching us in truth, and He's reminding us as we go and we live through this world, this sinful world that we live in. That's what He's using. If we're not in the Word, we don't know the Word. Christ is saying all along, oh, if you guys would know me, if you know, if you would believe, it's what He uses, it's what He counsels us with. He is the counselor. Coming and guiding us and speaking to us the truth. It is what our lives are to be lived off of. This tells us this is how we are to live. How do you know how to live if we don't know His Word? And not just know it, but then to apply it is a challenge. Number two, the Holy Spirit works peace in our lives. He is literally. Verse 27 says, peace I live with you. Peace I leave with you. Peace, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. He is actually the insurance of our peace. He said, I give you my peace. Last week, Isaiah 26, 3 through 3 and 4. He is the perfect peace. In God the Lord, we have an everlasting rock. Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is told He is going to come. He will be born. And He will be the Prince of Peace. Romans 5, 1 through 5. You can see. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. Not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations. Only the tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance, proving character, and proving character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Peace. He came to make peace for us. He's telling the disciples, I'm going to give you my peace. This peace that I have. This morning we were looking at Philippians 4, 4 through 7. This peace has been given to us. Peace that passes all understanding. This is what is given to us in and through by the Holy Spirit, working peace in us as He reminds us of Scripture. This is not anything that the world knows of. And it's not that you can't understand it. It's not like, I don't understand this. No, you don't understand it. Because it's totally supernatural. It's totally supernatural. The Holy Spirit is working in these things. And you can see as we think of these passages, all of the Scripture, we experience the fact that the Holy Spirit filling in all the things that Christ has revealed to us and imparted to these disciples. What kind of peace is it? That all things will go smooth and go well. Sometimes, maybe. More specific. specific. This is peace that is not the absence of conditions or situations that intimidate, that may overwhelm, but rather it is the composure to be faithful in the face of adversity. We talked this morning. Adversity that will come in our lives. There will be challenges that will come in our lives. There will be children with difficulties that will come in our lives. We talked about in ABF. We talked about, don't be anxious. He said, don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. I've given you my peace. This is living in the power of the Holy Spirit in a way when these things come, there is a calm to us that is unexplainable. It is explainable. Take that back. It may be unexplainable to the world as they look at it, but it is very explainable to us. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. This is what Christ is doing to us. He is working peace in our lives. Look at Acts 7, 54 through 60. Now when they had heard this, this is Stephen and the preaching before the leaders. And an unbelievable message. Very, very strong. I love that kind of preaching. Now when they had heard this, they were cut to the quick, and they began gnashing their teeth at him. But being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heavens open up and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out with a loud voice and covered their ears and rushed at him with one impulse, a little intimidated. When they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And the witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. They went on stoning Stephen as he called on the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against me. And he said this, he fell asleep. Peace. If you go on and look in these verses that we will go on, Christ is telling these disciples, you're going to be hated. Because of me, because of you making me known, because of the work that the Spirit's going to do in you and continuing to carry this work on, you will be hated. You're going to be persecuted. He already told you, you will be put to death for this. You will have tribulation. Told you these things so that you will know that you will be expectant. This peace is for persecution. To be a little more specific, in this context right here, there's a lot of peace that God gives us in troubles, in struggles, in tribulations, in death, in losing loved ones, in sickness, in you name it, he is constantly working peace. But on this, right here, he is saying to his disciples, I give you peace because you're going to face this. You claim the name of Jesus, you claim to make me known, you will face this. This peace is for persecution, to demonstrate to the world who you love. And we'll see that as he closes out this little section right here in the last verses, exactly why Christ is doing what he's doing. It is peace for us to demonstrate, who do you love? Who do you really love? You love this world. You love your comfort. You love your control. You love your easy life. I've had this conversation more than once. It's just a thought that stays with me. Lack of persecution, lack of making Jesus known. Said you'll be hated and persecuted. I'm not expecting any of us to get stoned this week in the sense of like not like
Like throwing rocks at me. We need to be persecuted. We even just be made uncomfortable because you proclaim the name of Jesus as you're going about. Will we experience this kind of peace in our life, or is it just for my comforts? I want peace for my comforts. I want peace for my life to go easy. I want peace for my life to go well. Don't take that away from me. Don't make me whatever it is that's going to make me uncomfortable. But this peace is because of sharing your faith, sharing the gospel, making Christ known. He's promised, I will give you this peace, and the Holy Spirit will work this peace in our lives. And Christ is demonstrating this all the way to the cross. You see what he's doing, and he's just calmly just pouring it to his disciples, and he keeps speaking and speaking and pouring in truth. He's saying, oh, these things I'm saying, listen to me. Not even that, I'm gonna send the helper, he's gonna come. He's going to help you. He's going to give you the strength to be able to do this. He's going to remind you. Don't forget. Because when you forget, he's going to remind you. Because when this comes, it's coming. Don't forget. There's a promise. Don't be overwhelmed. Oh, don't be fearful. Don't be anxious. Verse 27 says, do not let your hearts be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Anxiety, we studied about anxiety this morning in ABF. Get up earlier, come join us, because we're all anxious. Why? Isaac read the first verses and I'm going, good, stop, close, pray, done. Don't be anxious. Why are you anxious? Do you not see the birds in the air? They don't sow, they don't toil. My wife feeds them. When they're out in the snow, man, puts on my rubber hunting boots. Goes out there and fills that bird feed. And then the deer come and eat it. The bird don't have as much to eat. Oh, he feeds them. Why are you so anxious? Does he not care more for you? And we talked about when there is concern, we should be concerned. When it crosses over and it goes to being anxious and controlling and fearful, oh, that's not of the Spirit. That is not of the Spirit. And for me, sometimes it seems so simple. And it's so hard because it's not showing very caring for my wife who struggles more of this maybe than I do. Why does he go, just stop it? It's not that easy. It's not. Because we get overwhelmed. And some of these things are good, godly concerns. But there are only some of them, but only the things that God can do himself. And where's my place in it? What's the Holy Spirit working in me? In this situation that he's bringing into our life. Oh, don't be anxious. Peace, I've given you peace. Holy Spirit is working peace within our lives. And he's doing it through the Word of God. What else are you going to count on? What else are you putting your hope in? You going to control this? Doesn't work very well, does it? It's so important. Know, memorize, meditate. Holy Spirit will take that and use it. Because he causes me to remember this passage of Scripture that makes it seem so easy. Don't be anxious. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, but you're not doing it the way that I want you to do it right now. He goes on in verse 28. He says, if you love me, you would have rejoiced. The Holy Spirit is working joy. Awful strange to me. These guys love Jesus, right? I mean, John's one, he makes me uncomfortable. lay it on Christ's chest. Not normal for men to do that. There's two girls in our discipleship training at the house the other time, yesterday, and they were kind of leaving, and they were just hugging one another. It's like, oh, you're so, you feel so good to hug. I said, you'll never see two guys do that. Not going to happen. Is he your absolute highest treasure? Are there things that creep in and steal that money? And listen, these guys are the man that you love me. You would have rejoiced. Common teaching here, the thought is that these guys were really in their trouble. They were fearful. Why? Because they're losing something. Jesus, leave them. You know, I'm more concerned about myself and loving myself than I am about loving you and rejoicing in what God is doing and what He's going to do. Oh, that's me. I love Jesus. I want to love Him more. But I love myself. Show us Father is not enough. And you're just like, have I been with you so long with you? And yet you have come to know me, Philip. He has seen me, has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his work. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do it, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Oh, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. This will be better for you if I go away. The Spirit is coming. I'm going to be with the Father, and the work will go on, and it's going to go on in each one of us, not confined to one body. Oh, you would have rejoiced. You should have rejoiced. I'm going home to be with the Father. No, I'm more concerned that I want you here with me. It's about me. Don't leave. Can you imagine? He's going back to the Father. He's going back to heaven. The work has been accomplished. It's been completed. He is bringing salvation. The joy that is coming. Can you imagine what it was like in heaven when he's coming back? And he's taking on his glory and he's going to see, be seated at the right hand of the Father. He'll be given a name that's above every name. Psalms 24 gives you a little glimpse. Heard an old English man teach this one time. He was probably 6 inches shorter than I am with a great accent. And he preached a great message on this. He says, oh, lift your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? It's the Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Selah. Can you imagine? I wouldn't be rejoicing either, but we should have been. Oh, they should have been. Oh, so excited. Yes, we're losing you. Yes, I love you. But oh, I know what's coming. I know you told me. I know the Old Testament. Oh, no, no, no. See, I love us. Intercession for us, working with the Spirit and by the Spirit, accomplishing the work and getting us to line up with God's will so that we will accomplish exactly what the Father would have us to do. Selah, which is a little term that's used out in the psalm that says, what do you think about that? Oh, do you love me? He says. On this Valentine's Day where love is the focus, Jesus says to you, do you love me? God loved us. Love demonstrates. God so loved us that he demonstrated it. He gave his only son. He came and died for us. Do I demonstrate the love of God? He goes on, verse 29. Say these things that you may believe the Holy Spirit is working great faith in us. I have told you before it happens so that you will believe. He's taking all of this that's going on in all of the scriptures. And as we looked at last week, in the message last week, and he said he comforts us. He instructs us in the truth. We give ourselves over to the truth. He cares for us. He is teaching us. We were challenged last week. Write down at the end of each day, what has he done for me today? Did you write down?
Don't look.
Hold on the hands. It's like, did you write down? Don't come in here and be a hearer of the word. Oh, it's the greatest day of the day. Man, you can sit under the best preaching. He empowers us to love and to confidently obey. And all of that resounded what a great faith, an unbelievable faith. A faith that has all its confidence built in, going, the power of God working in me, I am astounded. Oh, keep me out of the way. Crucify the flesh and may the Holy Spirit work in me, do a great work in me. He's already told me. We know what's going to happen. You're going to be persecuted. You're going to be hated. All the other things he's going to say right here. I told you. The Holy Spirit's taking all that and working in us and working in us. Hey, that we walk with him. Verse 30. Speak much more with you, for the ruler of the world is coming. He has nothing in me. But so that the world may know that I love the Father and I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Get up and let us go from here. Time is drawing nigh. Satan has come. He thinks he's in control. He thinks he's going to be done with Jesus once and for all. This will be over. And Christ says, he has nothing. Another legal term, legal use, legal words that can be used here. kind of that connotation of going, there's nothing, like in a court of law, going, there's nothing on me. No sin. Totally sinless. Perfect. The accuser's coming, trying to say, hey, let alone accuse Jesus for nothing. He has nothing in me. And no reason to go to the cross. Not dying for something that was wrong. Not in me. I'm dying to make things right for those that have been wrong. But oh, he's sinless. He's perfect. He's the spotless lamb. He has nothing on me. Listen to me, guys. He has nothing on me. He's not in control of this. He's not in control of this at all. He's being used. Russ is a great term. He's God's devil. He's in full control. Perfect, spotless, holy, righteous. He will be our perfect sacrifice. God is in full control of everything. And over some of the weekends in our training, in our discipleship training, and one of the illustrations that we use is a circle of all of life that's going on, and at the top there's a triangle. And it stands for God's sovereignty. He's over the triangle. He controls everything. If the triangle is over the circle, he controls everything within that circle. God is sovereign, wise, and good. In all of it. And it almost got to be where, like yesterday, they were doing this, and it's like it almost kind of like we were laughing. Don't laugh. Do not laugh. This will bring you great peace. When something really tragic happens, or you sit down across from somebody to counsel with them, to encourage them because their baby just got hit, run over by a car, what else are you going to give them? In all of this, God is still good. He's sovereign. He's wise. He will use this. Even if we don't see it this side of eternity, we know God is sovereign. That'll bring you great peace. Knowing God's sovereign, wise, and good, you get anxious. Don't forget. Holy Spirit, teach me, remind me. Oh, I need to be reminded. The Lord is near. You don't hold on to anything else. He's right there. He is near. Philippians 4. 4 through 7. He's already told them. He says, hey, John 10, 17. I told you, no one takes my life. I lay it down. This is the commandment I received from my Father. We're in control here. He had nothing on us. We're walking here. He's coming my way to accomplish this. This is set. We're going to do this. This is planned. So that, what? So that. Verse 31. So that the world may know that I love the Father and I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. These things I have spoken to you. That the world may know that I love the Father. I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Love will lead you to perfect obedience. Do you love me? And out of that, He produces joy. He produces peace. He is working in us and teaching us and to build a great faith. This is who we are. This is how we are to walk. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, is working in them my love. John 17, 26 is what he says. And I have made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Romans 5, 5. Forgive. That passage closes out. And hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart through the Spirit who is given to us. What's God's Holy Spirit doing in your life? What's God's Holy Spirit doing in my life?
changes are necessary for me to be better at walking in the Spirit. Changes are necessary for us to walk in this power, to be teachable. Will we do that? Or will we walk out of here in another day and not ever buy one again? It was good. Had a great day. He closes in verse 31 and says, get up. Let's go from here. We're going on. Got to turn. Head straight to the cross. Heading to the garden. My prayer is that we all get up. Let us go from here with the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us, that is working in us, that loves us, that is teaching us, that is reminding us of the truth, peace, joy, faith, love. So that the world know that we love Jesus. Let's get up and go. And that we want to do exactly as He has commanded us. The Holy Spirit uses and fills in over in Romans 15 and 13 as Paul was writing in Romans and the verses over there. Says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because He who has begun a good work in you will complete it at the day of Christ. Let us get up and do it. So that the world will know that we love Jesus. Do you love Jesus today? Do you know Jesus today? You may be experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, and He's drawing you to Christ. You don't really know Jesus, but you have a yearning for it, a longing. Go to the back of the room where you're singing, Pastor Rush, myself, somebody standing next to you, ask them, oh, I want to know more. Come today. Today is the day. Be saved today. Don't leave. Nothing changed. Don't leave that. Come. Let us tell you more. Let us share this gospel with you. This is the moment. Let us sing. No one like you.